Blog Talk Radio. This episode of Kimberly's Intentional Moment is brought to you by the Seika Network on Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night for all the people across the globe that are listening to the show today. I want to recap a little bit and explain my intentions over the next couple of weeks, over the next shows, at least the next two shows. Last week, I recapped or replayed, reviewed, revisited my first show with my teacher, Salvatore. And I'm about what I'm talking about today for a reason, because next week I will replay his show, his second show with me, and then the week after that I will do yet another interview with him exploring deeper into the philosophies of yoga. And so just to give you that heads up, if you didn't get a chance to listen to the first show, sometime this week, if you can do that, I think it would be helpful for you to hear that show before the second show airs next week, and then the third show will be the week after that. I want to review the practice to begin with, just because it's been a couple of weeks since we've been live. And so we've talked about breathing. We've talked about conscious breathing and being aware of how you truly feel and present yourself to the world. We come from a friendly place. We practice without harm to ourselves and others. We practice honesty in that. So being honest with whether or not you're actually practicing friendliness, and actually practicing honesty and without harm, particularly for ourselves. And that's kind of my segue into today's show. We also talked about sportsmanship. Love and sportsmanship were in one of the shows, the seventh show. And it, how life essentially can be a game. If we look at ourselves as coming from energy, and then we are energy now, and then we traipse off into energy when the body dies, or energy is just morphing all along, then this could just be part of that game. And I mean that in all seriousness, too. I mean, being involved in teamwork, even when we don't like one another, and resolving issues together anyway, having endurance, practicing balance, yes, in a physical sense, but also in our lives, which is a nice way to talk about what I want to talk about on the show today. The show today is about how we handle our happiness. And I have some definitions I want to go over and how things can be more extreme even on the happy end, just like when we're feeling down, blue, or, you know, downright tragedy has struck. We can go all the way into that victim mode and be in a state of depression beyond what is just the innocence of a day-to-day life. Before I do that, I just want to ask all my listeners to continue to send loving energy to the Metta Valley in central Washington State. The fire was huge. It was something that they had not seen over there before. They have experienced quite a traumatic loss. Not in lives. There, as far as I know, there's been one life lost, and animals' lives have been lost, yet many people have lost everything that they own. And we can just send them good healing energy. Their communities over there have really rallied, and that's always a nice thing to see. It's just unfortunate that we tend to see that more only when tragedy strikes, which is, again, coming back to the show. So, again, let's send good energy to the Mattel Valley. My parents are over there, and they just got a report today that things are really looking up, and, you know, they're rallying and turning things around, yet they don't have support. So coming back to the show and happiness, when we are truly elated and really happy, and I want to take that to the word more elated or excited. We get really excited. It feels good. The drugs, if you will, the hormones really, in our body that are released when we're really excited feel good, and they can become addictive, and what we want is to have more and more and more of that. And finding a way to still have balance when we're happy, and not only that, allowing ourselves to be happy. So my question to you, my listeners, is what do you do when life is busy and stressful, yet really feeling and happy? Lately, I've been sharing with you some of my story over the last, you know, 4 years, especially 5 years, and how difficult it has been. And one of the reasons I'm bringing it up in this show is because, like you, I'm experiencing life, and I happen to be in a very fulfilling, happy space for the most part. It isn't easy. And I find that fascinating. I find it fascinating that, you know, what we think we want is to be happy, and I do want to be happy, and you want to be happy. Yet when it gets really exciting and it's overflowing, or your cup overfloweth, if you will, it can be stressful. And so what do we do? What do you do when life is going really, really well? And are you paying attention? Are you seizing every moment? And another question I have is, why don't we talk about this more? Why do we tend to be supportive, be super supportive when, you know, someone's feeling down or tragedy strikes or someone's just experiencing a difficult or challenging time in their life? Why don't we talk about what we do when we're experiencing absolute, I would like to say, contentment and happiness, which tend to, in the dictionary, be pretty much synonymous, and even elated. So when you're feeling, I would say that elated is a little more over the top. So let's go ahead and do that. Let's talk about the definition. So when we look at the definition in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, happy is feeling pleasure and enjoyment because of your life situation, etc. Showing or causing feelings of pleasure and enjoyment, pleased or glad about a particular situation, event, etc. So other than that, I always get a little concerned when we hear the word pleasure, because I think that often when we say pleasure, people feel as though that's got to be at the expense of others. This is through conversations with people, so in no way am I saying that this is how everybody feels today. But in having conversations about happiness, the word pleasure comes up, and oftentimes the energy shifts. So one of the things that I've talked to some close people in my life all over the globe lately about is my ability to tap into energy and feel what's going on. I don't always say it in the moment because maybe I fear it on some level, like what I don't know if this is real or if this means anything or not. I'm getting better at just allowing it to be. But feeling the energy of people, whether it's been on the phone or in person, when we talk about pleasure, there's a bit of a, I guess a resistance or a wall that comes up. And I find it to be almost sad. Like, why do we feel we're not allowed to experience happiness or pleasure? It's almost like a guilt feeling comes up, unless they go all the way into the excitement phase and, you know, get a real charge from their endorphins. And when we do that, and we get that real charge from endorphins, what are we doing in that moment to practice? Because any time that we are on a real far end of the spectrum or a far end of our field of positive and negative or detrimental and beneficial, we want to bring that back to balance. As we've talked about in pretty much every show in some way, whether we've used the word or not, the practice is about balance. The practice of balance is what it is. That is the practice. So if we're way over to one side and excited and stressed there, there is a consequence to that. It is not the same, but it can be similar to the response in our body-mind when we're very, very down. Or feeling very stressed because life has become very difficult. So again, I go to the question of what do you do when life is busy and stressful, yet fulfilling and happy at the same time? Your life feels full. When we're having tons of fun, aren't we just as high as we are when we're low and almost going in, or tempted to play the victim? I guess what I'm saying is why, no, what do you do and why do we not talk about it more? I'm going to ask that you sit for just a moment and take a few deep breaths. So let's go into the beginning of the practice. Breathing in all the way to your sit bones, breathing out, tightening your abdominal muscles. Feel your sit bones if you're seated. Feel your feet if you're standing. And follow your breath. It was in the first or the second show that I, you know, was talking about it being kind of like an ellipse. You bring in through your nose all the way to your pelvis, or breathe like you're breathing to your pelvis, and then you pause, you go around the bottom of the ellipse and exhale, and it comes back out through your lungs and nose. Following it around again, feeling the pause in your breath, not a hold, pause in your breath, and feeling that complete exhale. And now, bring to mind, just like in several shows, we've brought to mind gratitude. I'd like for you to bring to mind something that makes you very happy in your life right now. And if in your life right now, it's a stress, you can't figure out what you're happy about today, then I want you to think of a time when you were very happy, excited, or see if you can tell the difference. But happy, content, or feeling pleasure and enjoyment because your life, your situation, etc., feels this way. Pleased or glad about a particular situation, event. So it could be your child's birth. It could be when you got married. It could be when you met your best friend. It could be when you went to a certain part of the globe for the first time and really wanted to. And you're sitting in that moment and you're looking out. Last weekend, for instance, my boyfriend and I took our kids to Mount Rainier and hiked. And there was just several moments where we just stopped and looked out and you just see this beautiful natural setting and I felt full. So bring to mind a moment in your life that you felt happy, or a moment now where you feel happy. And really feel the feeling. Notice what's happening in your body. What's your heart rate doing? What does your breath do? This is a really good opportunity to notice in your breathing. The breath tells us so much. And a lot of times, more quickly or more, even more pronounced, believe it or not, than the body mind right away. Because the breath can become jagged, it can become short, it can become very unequalized, it can, or you could be holding it a lot. That's the first thing most of my students say, and I felt the same way when I first learned to consciously breathe, that you notice more and more when you're holding your breath. So when you feel happy, are you holding your breath? So just noticing what that feels like. And now, I want you to, if you can, find a way to catalog that somewhere in your mind. Think about somewhere, I don't know, behind your right ear. You're going to put it somewhere in your brain that is always accessible. Very nice. Okay, so let's go back to just, you're putting that somewhere where we can access that in just a couple of minutes. So happy, we've defined that. So what is elated? Elated, very happy and excited. So to me, again, this comes back to when we go a little further out of balance. And understand, I, like you, love the feeling of elation. Why would I not want to feel excited? And one of the other definitions, marked by high spirits. Why would I not want to do that? Or the light side of the force. See, I told you it would come in every so often. The light side of the force, it's got to feel good. Although the light side of the force, it could be argued, is still imbalance. So actually, scratch that. I'm going to scratch that one. But when you're feeling really excited about your life, a lot is going really well. It is stressful on the body, it is also out of balance. And it's hard for me to want to talk about that, probably like it's hard for you to want to hear about that, because it feels so good. Can't we just feel good? Well, we can. We can feel good. I'm giving you and I both permission to feel good. And we want to keep it from becoming something obsessive or something that is the only way for us to feel or be in balance, or feel and be in peace or a state of love. You know, oh, if I was just happier, I could really express and be in love more. Or if I was just happier, I could be and express peace more. We don't want to go all the way to that side. The reason why is this. Many years ago, I was teaching a class, and we were talking about passion versus obsession. And I wrote this all down. I'm still very old school. I write everything out, still I don't type everything. And so I saw, but I didn't write down the dictionary that I got it in. There was one definition that I got of passion where the word obsession was used, which set off a bit of a light bulb moment for me. I went back to my class, and we were discussing in the beginning of class the difference between passion and obsession. And so let's do that first so that we are all on the same page. So I'm, again, looking at Merriam-Webster. Passion, a strong feeling of enthusiasm or excitement for something or about doing something, a strong feeling, hi there, I am not sure what just happened, but somehow I got cut off, I don't know where, and so again, we're experiencing some technical difficulties, so we're just going to keep going from here. So let me go back because I'm just not sure what you heard or when it disconnected. So we were talking about the difference between passion and obsession. And passion was a strong feeling of enthusiasm or excitement for something or about doing something. And a strong feeling such as anger causes you to act in a dangerous way. And a strong sexual or romantic for someone. So there's three definitions of passion. Obsession, so what I describe as being something where we've gone too far, a state in which someone thinks about someone or something constantly or frequently, especially in a way that is not normal. Someone or something that a person thinks about constantly or frequently, and an activity that's is very interested in or spends a lot of time doing. You can see how in this class, and I'll repeat that just in case, again, I don't know when we got disconnected. At class several years ago, we were talking about the difference between passion and obsession, and it came up because when I was looking up in a certain dictionary, although I wrote it somewhere, did not type it out, and I don't know which dictionary that was, but the word obsession was in the definition, one of the definitions of passion, which is a practicing yogin or someone who is practicing balance in her life, me, obsession immediately is a light bulb moment that we've gone too far in one direction. So we want to have passion in life and have something that we feel very strongly about, and hopefully it's you're able to practice that most of your life, even in your job. One of the things we talked about in a prior show was finding something in your job that you truly enjoy, even if that means that you have to, I guess, find how you treat other people or a way for you to practice even smiling and become the person at work that everybody knows is going to be the one that smiles. Anything you can do in your day-to-day life to find the place where you are passionate about your day, passionate about who you are and what you do. And we want to keep it within balance that it doesn't become an obsession to where that's all that you think about is what whatever this thing is you're passionate about, whether it be smiling that you become so obsessed with smiling that it's creepy. But I guess that's the first thing that comes up for me is that it could be a little bit creepy, and we want to keep it from being creepy because we want it to be infectious in a good way. And there's another thing. I often, when I'm talking about happiness, love, peace, and, you know, this becoming viral, we use the word viral, infectious. And I've even gone as far as to say, you know, it's like a good flu that is so incredibly so incredibly potent in how infectious it is that just being in the room with someone, you take it on. Practicing the difference between happiness and full-on excitement. And I'm not saying not to be excited. What I'm saying is being able to recognize it and pull ourselves back into that place of balance where we're not just staying there. Here's why. As I said earlier, what was what's going on in my world, in my own life, and I know people can relate to this, is, you know, I have a difficult period, and it's not, we're not completely out of that difficult period, but it has calmed down quite a bit. I've gone into more of a happy, even elated place in my life. I've been telling my friends often, I'm pinching myself a lot. And part of it is because I am exhausted. Excitement is exhausting. And you are falling in love with someone and you are having a lot of activity in your life that is fulfilling and happy and exciting, you become equally, really, as exhausted as you are when you are battling, just trying to come back to that place of balance from that side. The difference is it feels better on the happy side. The problem is like I said, I have to keep pinching myself because it starts to feel unreal because how can it be this good? That's a question that comes up for me a lot. I'm wondering if it comes up for you. And remember, you guys can always email me at kimtalkradio@gmail.com to continue this conversation. And I, as an aside here, I want to let you listeners know I appreciate all the feedback I'm getting. Part of what fuels the shows are the comments and feedback that I get from you. Next questions that come up for you, as well as things that you've been practicing that have really been working or not working. But the show today is about being in the space of happiness or being in the space of contentment and enjoying that and understanding that it's got to stay in that place of balance still. So I want to just take a moment and you think about this. And have a bit of a PSA moment, because that's what we do, public service announcements. And again, keeping the Metau Valley in your heart. Back in three.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today...
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov, a message from the Ad Council.
This is Nnamdi Asamoah. I play football for the Philadelphia Eagles, but what I do off the field with United Way might be more important. I'm a volunteer tutor and mentor. Why? Because over a million kids a year drop out of school, and that's not okay. It takes 12 years to create a graduate, but it takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be me, or it could be you. Studies show that if we get to these kids earlier, their chances are better, and kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. So join me in United Way. Suit up and take the pledge. Become a volunteer reader, tutor, or mentor, because when a child succeeds, we all succeed. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and the National Football League.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
And now, on with the...
All right, So that was a loaded public service announcement. So the reason why I played that one was because, to me, it's all three parts to that have to do with awareness. So, number one, we'll start with the kids and talking about happiness. We want to notice how kids are feeling. They're the future. And teaching them about how to deal with the difficulties of growing up or the challenges in growing up, and also the wonderful moments as they go along and how to balance out their lives. And I think that, you know, we talk about kids dropping out of school or losing interest. Sometimes, especially when you think about teenagers, I think we all kind of have that teenage mind still in us where we, you know, want to feel all or nothing, black or white. And what we learn, or we hope, boy, I really hope, and if you haven't started that practice, start that now, that really it's about the gray area, and it's the shades of gray that are the practice of balance. So noticing that, you know, kids can take relationship very seriously, and reinforcing in their minds the relationship not only to other kids, but also with their teachers and their parents in a productive and beneficial way, and getting help when they need it, knowing that they can, you know, I don't understand what's going on in the class, and so hang on just a second, I'm having one more bit of difficulty here. Okay, we figured it out. Boy, I'll tell you, this whole thing, sorry, little aside here, this whole thing about being on the radio, as I told you in my first show, is all brand new to me, and just the idea of running a studio at the same time, you know, being, I am so in the moment about this stuff. I enjoy what I do. I enjoy this practice. And it's hard to do two things at once. Going back to, you know, several shows ago when we talked about multitasking, and we know that our brains actually don't do that well. So I apologize for the technical difficulties, and at the same time, such is life. You know, we could just roll with it, and, you know, we'll get across what we need to get across. We'll talk about what we need to talk about. All right, so thank you for your flexibility in that. So coming back to the public service announcement and how that feeds into our practice, we want to be in the moment with our kids and listen between the lines. Are they really happy, or are they pretending to be happy for us or for someone else, hiding what's really going on underneath? And it comes back to the practice of friendliness without harm and honesty. So teaching our kids that we can, you know, go through life and enter relationship with friendliness, we can also, you know, do this without harm to ourselves and others. And we can also be honest about it. So I'm not feeling good right now, and I need help to get back into balance. That might mean that, you know, a child needs tutoring. It might mean that they just need to be heard. And we want to make sure that we are listening, and not just to our children, but to ourselves. So what is happening for me right now, really listening to what and being honest with what is going on for me right now, and acting accordingly, or practicing what is needed in that moment. The drinking and driving part of the PSA was really just a reminder that when we're really happy and when we're really down, we may turn to other things to find our balance. And, you know, I believe most people are guilty of it at one time or another in their life. I don't mean drinking and driving per se, but just that you turn to other things to try to balance yourself out. And instead, finding lots of ways. That might be one of them. You might sit and have a glass of wine with a friend. That's okay. Or it may be okay for you. But also, like, doing a regular breath practice. All of the tools that I've given over the last 8 shows, well, really 7 shows, have been about something daily. We talked about doing something rather than nothing. So even when we're in the moments of real excitement, notice that that's happening. It's like that trip to Mount Rainier that I took with my boyfriend and his kids, noticing that beautiful mountain. And wow, we're up close to it. And this is the mountain that we see from Seattle, you know, all the time when you're driving around, or many, many places in Seattle, you can see whether it's just the tip of it or it's more pronounced. And we're right up next to it. So being in that moment and feeling what's going on in that moment. Same thing with any other excitement that you have. Breathe it in. Breathe out. Calm. All the way to your sit bones. So doesn't mean we're taking away the happiness. We're just taking it down a notch to just keep the body mind in balance. Another example I have is a good friend of mine, Kimberly, lost her husband, and I've been given permission to use names, and so I'm going to, because there's going to be some listeners out there that are going to figure it out anyway. But my friend Kimberly lost her husband in Afghanistan 4 years ago, almost to the date. In fact, it was yesterday, 4 years ago. And he was in the Navy, and her life fell apart. And, well, the whole family's life, shattered was a word that she used. And she's really been in the practice of coming from that space of shattered, somebody pulled the rug out from under me. How does life even go on? They do have 2 children. And when he passed away, the youngest was 1 and the oldest was 3. And, you know, and it's been an absolute struggle for her. And at the same time, she kept practicing. And I mean, it got brutal at times for her to really pick herself up and even go to the grocery store or take a shower. But she kept doing it. And she'd fall down and she'd go into slumps, and she may still do that. I mean, it's one of the things that her and I talked about and we talk about it on the regular, is that this is, you know, you don't get over this. You don't get past this. You move with this, through this, around this, over it, under it, all around it, because it's a part of your life now. And you to think that you're just going to one day wake up and it's all going to be fine and dandy is, I think, actually one of the reasons I knew she wasn't insane. And she's also come to a place in her life where she is finally dating. And that we knew right there meant that this practice has all been worth it. My point in that, she also got real excited about dating, like just the feelings of excitement of dating again. And, you know, and texted me more than once saying, hey, you know, I gotta balance this out, which means, again, that just shows how much practice she's been in, or how much of the practice has been useful to her over time, because she knows, wow, even being way over here means that I am now out of balance and I want to stay in balance. I want to enjoy and at the same time stay in balance. And so I just want to give a big shout out to her, because that is such a perfect example of how the endurance of the practice over time takes a positive toll or has a positive effect in our lives, even though along the way it can feel like you're literally scratching your way out of a hole, or a cave, a dark cave. Where is the light? Where is the light? And you get a glimpse of it, and then it goes away, and then you get a glimpse of it, and it goes away, and then guess what? You get a glimpse of it, and it actually stays there a little bit. And then it starts to stay a little bit more. I foresee for her much more times of joy and happiness because she worked so hard to get into a state of balance that she also got to go all the way to the other side. And I, you know, she'll probably hit that side a few times. It's just such a wonderful experience to stand next to someone who has had such an enormous amount of tragedy and really not that long ago come to such a wonderful space. And again, it wasn't easy, and it still won't be easy. And I think it's a good example also when we talk about balance on one side or the other, when we're in a real state of excitement versus a real state of dread or anger and fear, that it's the same practice that brings us back. I mean, when she texted me and said, you know, I just want to, you know, essentially she didn't say these words, but feel my feet on the ground again or get grounded, get centered. Same thing, breathe. Take a deep breath. When you take a deep breath and you bring it to your sit bones and back out and you stay there for several breaths, you have a positive impact on your heart rate and your blood pressure. You have a positive impact on your hormones and your nervous system. And you will come back to center if even just a little bit. And a little bit matters. Just like the week before last when I was talking about another student of mine who, you know, had her body essentially fell apart in one night and it took her some time to bring it back to center. Every little bit mattered in that recovery, and one of the ways perhaps that could have been avoided, and we've all been here too, is when your body first started telling you, I need you to slow down, or I need a break, or I need to go for a walk, or I need you to breathe, I need you to stretch, whatever it is, to drop everything when possible, and that might be 5 minutes from that point, it might be an hour from that point, it might be that evening, and do something about it. Something. Doesn't mean you have to go to an hour-long class somewhere, although that might be what you want to do. It could mean that you get down and do a kneeling lunge and just do some stretching of your hip flexors to open back up. What I would like for us to notice and would love your feedback on over the next few weeks is, what do you feel when you're happy? Do you feel expansion or contraction? So I think that's a perfect point in the discussion this morning, or well, really in this show this morning, to come back to your breath for a moment. Breathe in and breathe out. Bring to mind that happy feeling, not excitement, happiness. So total contentment, the looking out at that mountain and feeling that just sense of nature, or it's when your baby was first born and you look at that baby, or when your baby first came home, if you've adopted a child, and you're looking in the eyes of that child and thinking, you know, just how full you feel. These are a couple examples. You can use whatever you like. And I want you to notice what's happening in your heart center. So right in the center of your chest, what do you feel? And then take that out into your periphery, so out into your legs, your arms, and just notice that feeling of openness, vastness, expansion. Notice what your mind does. Does your mind start to talk you in from that? Does your mind go, yay? You know, what's happening in your mind? And the reason why I bring this up is, like in past shows, we're going to continue the practice of what you feel in your body and then what your mind is saying or what your mind is doing. Like I tell my students on the regular, and I say to myself over and over and over again, and I teach my daughter this, the body or the mind lies, the body doesn't. Learned that from my naturopath. The mind lies, the body doesn't. So your body's not going to lie to you. If it feels, you know, sluggish, if it feels energetic, if you have a pain somewhere or something feels really good, you know, that's real. It's almost like the difference between reality and what we see as reality. The mind might try to shift that around. Well, you know, this is a bad feeling because, or this is a good feeling because. Instead, just what does it feel like? And tapping into that gut feeling. I do this with my daughter so that she knows when she's around people, if she's having a certain feeling somewhere in her body, usually solar plexus, it's a place for her to really tune in and do what is appropriate. So if somebody does, if she's getting a feeling there, like it feels like somebody's punched her there or it feels uneasy there, that's a red flag. That something's going on and you need to pay attention. And if you're not sure what to do, go to a safe adult and talk about it. I don't see why we as adults can't practice that too. Go to a safe adult and talk about it if you're not sure. And in practicing balance, we also have a sense of knowing. So when you come back to that feeling that we just brought to the forefront of expansion, this is the space I would like to encourage all of us to be in, a space of expansion, an opening up, an allowance, including allowing yourself to feel happy. Allowing yourself to also know when that goes so far that it's into excitement and now it's become a bit of an addiction, and rightfully so. That is one darn good feeling when you have all those endorphins rushing through your body and you get that rush, it feels good. You want to continue to do that. What I'm asking all of us to do is recognize that and go ahead, feel that a moment. And then let's bring it back to the state of happiness or even better, balance, which is just not happy, unhappy, just balanced, peaceful. I'd like to take just another moment and play another PSA for you. So, and it's really just mine. I just think it's kind of cool that we have this now. And so take a listen, and I'd love to hear what you guys think about it. Listen to this.
You're listening to Kimberly's Intentional Moment on blogtalkradio.com with your host, Kimberly Knauss, your spot to practice living in awareness.
What do you guys think of that? I love the living in awareness. What I don't want is for it to be so, I've been called woo-woo or a bit ethereal, and it is true, and I don't have to be. What do you guys think of that? Because I think that Restita De Jesus did a really nice job, and it's perfect for me. I want to make sure that I keep it open for listeners that might be a little more pragmatic about their practice or when they're coming into this, that they don't feel like we're getting too ethereal for them. All right, so coming back to happiness and noticing when it's happening in your life and what are you doing about it, let's go over the questions I'd like for you to contemplate and give me feedback on. And I'm also going to open up the lines if you'd like to call in for the next few minutes. And the call-in number is 347-677-0699. Again, it's 347-677-0699. And the questions are, what do you do when life is busy and stressful, yet really fulfilling and happy? And then, why don't we talk about this more? Why does it feel like I had to add in the content matter of going on the being on the other side, being in a depressed or fearful or angry state, just so that we can discuss happiness and what the other side feels like, or that other extreme feels like? So why don't we talk about this more? And when we're having a lot of fun, or like I like to say, tons of fun, aren't we high just as when we are we just as high then on some sort of hormonal rush as we are when we're low and tempted to play victim? And I know it feels really, really different, but is it or is it not the same in how exhausted you become? And what do you do about it? And so in this, I had talked earlier about how things are going so well that I find myself pinching myself. Well, I find that fascinating. Why do I have to pinch myself? I have to pinch myself because I can't believe it? Is it because I feel as though somehow I'm not worthy of it? You know, these are the things that I'm thinking about. And, you know, this is a much better predicament to be in than to be on the other end and you know, facing death or tragedy or just regular depression. And last, I'd like for you to think about, how can you in your practice bring about the feeling of happiness? So remember when we logged it over behind our ear, our right ear? Or was it the left? I can't remember which side. But behind one of your ears, we decided that that's where we would store the feeling of happiness, contentment. How can you bring that into your space when you're feeling out of balance, perhaps the other direction, or even in the direction of overexcitement? It could be either way. Bringing it happiness to me sits a little more in that balanced place, might be a little to the one side, that positive side, yet it's still closer to balance. So how do we bring about that feeling? Because when you shift the feeling in your body, you're going to shift the mind eventually. The mind will follow because it feels better. And if you don't want to allow yourself that, why not? Please be honest. This, again, is discussion I want to have. Why are we resistant to feeling happy on the regular, on any level? I mean, some people more than others. And is it in fact a control thing? We've talked in previous shows about what we crave in our ego, our mind, is control. So do we feel somehow that we are in better control when we get to control our unhappiness? And why would we choose that? Like, that seems awfully silly. I'm not in a space of judgment here. It just seems awfully silly. So why do we do that? And how can you bring that space? So when I said accessing that place behind your ear, so is that you breathe in happiness and breathe out unhappiness, or breathe in happiness and then breathe out all that is in the way of that? Maybe it's bringing about moments. A wonderful moment, not only last weekend with my boyfriend and our girls, Not only was the Mount Rainier a wonderful moment, but there was also this moment where his oldest, who, as a reminder, is the one that made up the acronym KIM, Kimberly's Intentional Moment, she made up my logo, essentially. I had somebody else, you know, do the actual design of the logo, but she was, but his oldest was the creative genius behind how I wanted it to be. She's also designed a T-shirt in the most simple way possible. In fact, if you're interested in a T-shirt, let me know. Where it has a happy face on the front, and on the back it says, "'Cause I'm happy," because all the girls know how much I love, well, and all my friends know how much I love the song Happy, which is why it's at the end of this show. The reason why, this is my long-winded way of coming to, the reason why I love that song Happy is it brings me to a space closer to balance, especially when I'm not feeling so good. I can turn that song on, and even though it may not bring me into happiness, certainly not all the way to excitement, because I might be feeling so down, it brings me closer to center. I am one of the teachers out there that says, I don't really care how you get there as long as you are being safe and healthy in to yourself and others. So again, practicing friendliness without harm and honesty in getting yourself to the space of balance, go ahead and do it. Whatever works. Get creative here. And again, thanks for the feedback for those of you that have been writing me and calling me and talking about what practices you do to bring yourself to a more balanced state, and continue to do that. So just to recap the next couple of weeks, next week we will be listening to the second show with my teacher again to set us up for the third interview, which will be in the following week. So if you, for some reason, missed the show last week where we went, where we revisited the first show with Salvatore, I invite you to listen to that sometime this week and set yourself up for that second show. Many of you that have been writing me and calling me have been asking for this, so this is one of the reasons I'm doing it. And then it also sets us up for what is to come later in the month. Remember to write also about, or let's discuss about, what you do when life is busy and stressful and yet fulfilling and happy. That's the big question. What do you do to come back to that state of balance? And then I really want to get the discussion going of, why don't we talk about this more? What are we afraid? Are we afraid? Maybe we aren't afraid. I think it's a fear thing. I don't know for sure. That's my opinion, that somehow we're afraid to be too happy. But I'd like to hear what you have to say. And then just continue to bring into your body, mind, that feeling that you have when you're happy via your breath, perhaps in different ways, definitely, though, via breathing. The more you practice breathing, the more in tune you will become with how your breath will notify you when you're out of balance, so that you can take care of it way before you get to either extreme. And the extremes are scary, pretty much in every way. So it's nice to have something that brings you back, even if just a little bit, towards center, so that we don't get out of balance or, I guess, in a state of dis-ease. So we're seeing it long before it becomes disease, and we're seeing that dis-ease, or that just that fluctuation away from our balanced place, and taking care before it becomes something extreme. I hope that you have a wonderful week. I look forward to hearing from you. And in the meantime, remember, happiness is something you can have at any time. It is yours. You own this. You have the control over the action you take, so take it. practice peace always.
Be happy because I'm happy.